The public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of any committee items. And remain members of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Declared an interest, members should leave the chamber for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. Proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council is considering any exempt matters. Members should remember that microphones work in a queuing system. If your microphone is lit red and have precedence, flashing green is next in queue, and then solid green. Please do not press your microphone button again when it is lit up red, as you will lose your place in the queue. There may be some members in attendance virtually, and it has been agreed that all members in the chamber are brought in to speak on an issue before any remote delegates. Therefore, if you're attending remotely, please use the chat facility to indicate that you wish to speak, and I will bring members in once those within the chamber have spoken. Is the message be kept with the following letters? Type Q if you wish to question, type C for a comment, type P if you wish to propose, type S if you wish to second. Please refrain from making any other comments using instant messaging. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make during the meeting. So, we have any apologies, sir?
Yeah, we've apologies from Councillors Brennan, Kearns and from Conor Mallon as well.
Thank you, sir. I'd just like to one of the chairperson's remarks.
Councillor Mallon and Councillor Hall.
Yep. So we just touch upon the chairperson's remarks for this month. So this month has been nothing short of inspirational. Across Newry, Moore and Down have continued to be moved by the selfless spirit of individuals who are committed to bettering their communities, not for recognition or the spotlight, but out of genuine care for others. These are people who have dedicated their time and energy to causes that build civic pride, preserve our shared heritage, and enrich our local culture. Meeting the volunteers behind the brilliant cultural and heritage events like the Ulster Fra, Fiddler's Green, Castlewell Show, and the Legion Festival, I've seen firsthand how community-led efforts can help us learn more about our traditions and each other. I've also had the privilege to spend some time with local groups and societies who work tirelessly to support those in need. And in particular, I want to celebrate two outstanding women from our own district. Marion McGreevy of Newcastle Lands, recently elected District Governor for all Lands Clubs in Ireland. Joan McAteer, now High Chief Ranger of the Irish National Foresters, the first woman to hold this title in the organisation's 146-year history. And finally, I was honoured to welcome Economy Minister Dr. Keith Archibald to my hometown of Dunpatrick to discuss the important regeneration work being driven by the Dunpatrick Regeneration Working Group. It's been a month full of pride, progress, and the power of the community. I'm looking forward to what lies ahead. So, moving on to item 2 of the agenda, any declarations of interest? Mr. Sharp?
Yeah, just on item 8.2, Chair, just declaring a conflict of interest.
Thank you, Councillor Sheldon. Moving on to the action sheet, the council meeting held on the 7th of July, 2025. Looking for accuracy. It is...
Pyramid.
One.
Great two, pyramid.
Three. Four. Five. Four. Five. Six. Actually, oh, sorry, my apologies. Four. I'm proposing a seconder for the action sheet. Mr. Hanlon? Adam, Councillor Murphy? Oh, sorry, Councillor Murphy. You wish to come in, or are you going
yes,
to
yes, please. Thanks, Chair. It's just in relation to C-104-2025. So it's in relation to Newry Canal, essentially. And through you, I just wanted, honestly, to raise some concerns about the lack of progress that's taken place on the regeneration of Newry Canal. The reason I raise it, Chair, is because this council at this stage has passed not one but two motions with cross-party support in November 2024 and again in April 2025, calling for urgent and visible steps to revitalise the canal. But despite that, there hasn't been any tangible action and no meaningful progress update brought to councillors or to the public. And if I'm being really honest with you, I find that unacceptable. So I'm therefore asking that a written update on canal regeneration be brought to the next full council meeting to include a timeline of actions that have been taken since November 2024, any barriers that have been identified by officers, and a forward plan with deliverables and milestones. Thank you.
Yeah, Chair, it would go to the next ERT committee. We don't bring reports of that nature to vote. Hopefully we'll ask for it to go to the next. It'll be September's ERT committee.
Right. Temporary action, Councillor Fien.
Apologies, it'll be the Sustainability and Environment Committee.
Okay, is that, I appreciate that from the Chief Executive, but if the motion was passed in April at full council, why can't the progress update rather be brought back to the full council?
In line with our standing orders, update reports are brought through relevant committees, so that will be where we'll go back through and then come back through the minutes into full council.
Finally, Chair, I promise it's final. Why can't it be brought before the August ERT committee or S&E committee?
Through the Chair, taking account of officer leave, I will endeavour to have a report back for the August committee, but if not, it'll have to go to September. And just to say that there is work going on in the background at officer level, with both during the council and with steps progressing in the background. So we certainly can bring an update report back as soon as possible.
Councillor Riley.
Thanks, Chairman. Chairman, just wondering, is anything back from the Minister on the NAP issue, the Nutrients Action Plan issue?
Chair, anything that we would have received would be tabled for correspondence on the agenda, so we mustn't have received a response.
Okay, thanks, Chairman. It's just causing terrible anguish within the farming community, and the Minister needs to act.
Thank you, Councillor Riley. So, moving on to item 5 of the agenda, which is minutes of the council meeting held on the 7th of July 2025. For accuracy, pages 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17. Any opposing seconder?
Happy to propose, Chair.
Darwin, seconder.
What item are we on?
Salmon. Mr. Bowser.
Item 4.
What about item 4? Just, I would like to speak on item 5. But
yes.
We want to go back to item 4, Councillor Bowser. We're just going to go through the minutes of the meeting first, and then we will address item 4.
Okay, so just then on item 4, obviously at last council meeting, I had asked the Chief Executive to look into the procedure irregularities that we had brought up.
You're talking on item 5, Councillor Cuthie.
In relation to the procedures not being followed as they normally would in relation to the bilingual signs and Irish Gateway signage, and your response was that you would get back to us. We haven't heard back from you, and it's been a month.
Okay. Apologies. I will pick up with the DUP party after the meeting. I know you did raise at that time, Councillor Bowsey, regarding call-in procedures. The call-in procedures are set in legislation and are not something that are set by council. In relation to the actual processing of the Irish language, we have responded on a number of questions, but I can certainly readdress with you.
No, granted that the call-in was unsuccessful because there was only six unionists obviously only had concerns that procedures weren't being followed in the council, but there are outstanding concerns there that we as a party want this council to look into around how consultation was dropped from the report at the 11th hour. That still needs to be looked into regardless of whether our call-in was successful. And if you want us to rejoin the Equality and Good Relations Working Group, you need to show that you're taking those concerns that we have as to why we're out of that group. You need to take them seriously.
Yeah, and Chair, we have addressed those previously in correspondence with yourselves, and just to advise that in the matter of you rejoining the Equality and Good Relations, I have corresponded with your party in relation to options for consideration on that, so we take that very seriously.
Yeah, Chair, just picking up on Councillor Bowsey's points there, would the Audit Committee not be the most appropriate measure if the Councillor has concerns from a procedural perspective that the Audit Committee would consider such matters and for it to be investigated through the Audit Committee? You know, we're putting, well, it's the Chief Executive's job, obviously, to handle issues, but it shouldn't necessarily just lie at the Chief Executive's door as well. You know, we do have structures in the council to investigate, and that approach has been taken before where we've had investigations of issues or concerns. Surely the Audit Committee would be the most appropriate place for what these procedural concerns are.
And Chair, I suppose, as I said, we have previously responded in relation to those procedural concerns. I can certainly bring something back through the SPNR committee, which is where the Equality and Good Relations would report through, and that will mean that it will address it through a report, and that will address the issues. So I'll ask for a report from the SPNR committee, and then if necessary, I can follow into the Audit Committee.
Okay. Moving on to item 4 on the agenda. Yeah. We're going to address item number 6 on the agenda first before we get into the session. So, minutes of a special council meeting held on the 26th of June 2025 for approval. Read through them correctly. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5. Page 6, page 7. Can I have a proposer and a seconder, please? Proposed by Councillor Hanlon. Seconder? Councillor O'Hare. Okay, now. Item 4 on the agenda. This is an item that is deemed to be exempt under paragraph 5, part 1 of the Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act, Northern Ireland 2014. Information leading to information in relationship in relation to which a claim or to legal professional privilege could be maintained in legal proceedings, and the public may, by resolution, be excluded during the item of business. Can I propose in a seconder to go into closed session, please? Proposed by Councillor O'Hare. Second by Fitt. Councillor Quinn. Thank you, everybody. So, whilst in closed session, it was agreed following a recorded vote, that the result of which was 21-4, 11 against, and no abstentions, to accept the legal advice as provided. So, moving on to the next item in our agenda, which is planning section, and there's nothing to report. Item number 8 on the agenda was correspondence report. Any issues arising? Mr. Riley?
Chairman, the notice of motion that was carried in Durrance Strabane Council on data centres, I actually think that is a very important issue that they have raised, because it is putting enormous stress on the electricity system. And we actually share the electricity system with the South, and there's growing concern among business community in the South that the costs of electricity are going to go so high because of the demands that the data centres are putting on it, that it could affect the whole community. And I think we should actually write to Darren Straban and support their notice of motion.
He was seconder for that. Everybody in agreement? Okay. Moving on to... Yes, can I propose our seconder for all of the correspondence? Proposed by Councillor Murphy, seconded by Councillor Kate Murphy. Okay, item number 9 on the agenda is conferences. been advised by Democratic Services. Should anybody wish to attend conferences, can they please inform them?
Yeah, so it's nominations are being sought for six councillors to attend a series of insights exchange events that are being held by NILGA. And if you just put forward any of the names then to ourselves and Democratic Services.
Mr. Reddy?
Yeah, Chairman, if I could indulge you, I meant to mention the correspondence back on the fishing visa. Basically, what the Home Office is saying that you have to employ local people to do this work. Everybody agrees that, Chairman. The problem is there is no training facility in Northern Ireland for young fishing men. If you want to, you have to go away down to Cork or over to north of Scotland to get the training that you need. And maybe that is something that we could look at, Chairman, in cooperation with Uri College of Further Education, because there was a commitment several years ago that a college specifically aimed at the fishing community would be established for skipper's licences and health and safety and all that type of thing, but it never transpired. So this maybe is then an incentive to actually do something that could improve our whole fishing industry, especially with the anticipated investment from the $136 million that Labour promised after they sold out the UK fishermen to the EU. But certainly it's something, Chairman, I hope we could look at and move forward on together.
So what would your proposal be, Councillor Reddy?
That we asked the Southern Education College or the Southern College if we could work together to devise a scheme whereby we could create a course to train fishermen and provide the skipper's license, things like that. If you wanted to emulate what they do in Scotland, where our fisher crews and Donegal crews have to go to, you'd have to have firefighting equipment and all that type of thing. So it would be a major facility to build up. But you could bring people from all over the England, Scotland, Wales, Republic, Northern Ireland to it.
Thank you for your proposal. Thank you, Councillor. Hannah? Mr. Truesdale?
Thanks for
Sorry,
that.
Sorry, Chair, I had put a queue in at the right moment, but you missed it. It's on 8.1, the letter from Causeway Coast and Glens. Could I propose that we follow suit to do a scoping exercise, as they have done there, please?
Mr. Truesdale, do you have a seconder for your proposal?
Yeah, a second.
Mr. Clark?
Chair, just speaking on the proposal, this is something Warren's councillors raised a number of years ago. The exact same issues has been raised in this correspondence and notice of motion. I think it's important to establish a clear picture, you know, of the number of second homes and short-term holiday lets in our council area. The current situation in our council area, in particular areas like, you know, coastal areas and major tourism areas, it's near impossible for low-income residents to buy or even to rent in them areas. Because of the increase of prices due partly to holiday accommodation and second homes. And so I think it would be a useful exercise. Even in regards to the housing supply strategy and our development plan, you know, it could feed into that because we raised it in regards to our draft plan. You know, there was issues about the housing growth indicators not being sufficient, for example. But this further erodes that number of units for local accommodation or residents to get accommodation in our district. And so, I think it's a worthwhile issue to look at. So happy enough to support.
Mr. Sharma?
Yeah, thanks, sir. It's only a point one. I suppose it's we probably need to write back to Causeway Coast and Glens to actually understand how they're undertaking this exercise, because if they have an approach that we can adopt as a council, then we're not recreating the wheel, because I don't know, and maybe the officers do know, of how we would be able to facilitate such a request. But, you know, that's going to be a massive piece of work for such a scale of a council. So if there's any learnings that we can take from Causeway Coast and Glens already, it'd be beneficial. But maybe the officers are aware of how we would do such a scoping exercise already.
Is that a proposal, Councillor Short?
Yeah, I'm happy to do the proposal that we write to Causeway Coast and Glens Council to ask them, do they have an approach that we can adopt to carry out the scoping exercise?
Second for that proposal, Councillor Short?
Clearly seconded. I'm happy to second. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, everybody in agreement? Moving on to item 10, notice of motion, vote needs to be reduced to 16. Councillor Andrews, would you like to read your motion and inform us as to who is seconding your motion?
Thanks very much, Chair. I do have a seconder, and that seconder is Councillor Finn from Newry City. The final notice of motion is that Newry Morningdown District Council welcomes the announcement that the voting age is to be reduced from 18 to 16 ahead of the next council and assembly elections in 27. Young people deserve a say in who represents them in the future of this island, and the council calls on the UK government to work with Stormont to ensure the legislation is implemented successfully. So I propose that we adopt this motion. And as I say, I'm presenting tonight's motion, and this is the third time that I've spoken on what would be a very important topic, vote for 16 years up. On previous occasions, we were knocked back by the previous administration, but with the Labour government, recent announcement of bringing this onto the statute book, I welcome this and support what has been brought into law, which is to be welcomed not in 2029, which is scheduled for, but a lot sooner. What I support, the ethos and my rationale behind all this, is that young people are already active in politics. They march, they organise, and they campaign for change. At 16, they can work, pay tax, marry and serve in the armed forces, and I believe in that they deserve the right to vote as well. Any young people that I've spoken to and right across the board, they care deeply about their future and are often ahead of us politicians on major issues like climate and equality. But let them vote, I believe, would shift our politics to better reflect their needs and priorities. And the arguments against votes at 16 are the same ones used and since disproven when the votes was lowered to 18 back in 1970. Scotland, as I alluded to in previous speeches in this chamber on the subject, Scotland and Wales have already led the way, and it's time Northern Ireland caught up. We shouldn't wait on Westminster, but our executive should seek the powers to make this change now. I believe that the biggest reason for lowering the voting age is our young people themselves. Our next generation have ambition and space for themselves and for Northern Ireland. They care deeply about the world around them and about the biggest social, economic and justice issues of the day. And all progressive causes, they are all too often four or five steps ahead of us where our politicians of the day land. And let us not forget that our young people will be forced to live with the consequences of today's decisions and have often no little else but instability in our politics and skyrocketing costs of housing, transport and basic essentials. But there are so many young people in this generation who, instead of stepping back from politics, have actually stepped up and stepped into politics. They have found campaigns on everything from youth mental health to poverty. They organise in their communities and in their schools, and they march, they protest, and they mobilise for their own rights and for the rights of their peers. They care about the future, and most of all, they care about each other. These young people, they can work, they pay their taxes, and as I said earlier, they can get married. And I firmly believe, and I'm sure everybody believes, that young people have a right to have a say in the future that we are trying to create for them. They have a right to help shape that future through voting. But I cannot help but think that perhaps if they were able to vote, our politics might take more notice of them and their needs. And for anyone who, and I respect people's right to oppose, you know, for anyone who opposes this step, it's worth looking back at the debate when the age was lowered from 21 to 18. I was only 6 years of age that time when that happened. And the same moral, illogical panic that comes from some very conservative quarters now comes from the same quarters back then. And no one would argue that the age should be raised or that the reduction should not have taken place. Some say that 16 is simply too young. But there's one age, as the expert panel in Wales found,
at which rights are totally confirmed. Therefore, why not let these capable, talented, motivated young people vote and have their say? And we need more of them to get involved, and we have no time to waste whatsoever. So, in tonight's motion, and in the interest of all our young people, today's motion, or this evening's motion, should actually go further. It's very well to ask the current government to introduce legislation, but the First Minister, Michelle O'Neill, and the Deputy First Minister, Emma Little-Pengelly, should seek the devolution of the required powers to introduce the legislation. And of course, we want this right for every young person in the UK, and I do hope that Keir Starmer lives up to his commitment to introduce the right to vote for 16 and 17 years old. If he does, then our MPs in Westminster and a welcome support of other public reps will be the first in line to vote for it. But we need to make the decision in Stormont for the young people here. Lowering the age, I believe, from 18 to 16 is the next staging post on our journey to expand the electorate and ensure that everyone has a say in the decisions that affect their lives. This evening, I'm asking for support of this council. Let us all act in the interest of the 45,000 young people who are aged 16 to 17 by giving in the say that they deserve in their society and in our democracy. So I move. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Councillor Andrews. Councillor Finn, would you like to speak to the motion?
No, but very happy to second the motion this evening. Thank you.
Councillor Quinn.
On behalf of Sinn Féin, we're very happy to support the motion from Terry. And again, this has been my second time speaking in regards to the lowering of the voting age. So every time we sit in this chamber, we're making decisions that directly affect the lives, but more importantly, of young people. And now, finally, we have a direct role in shaping those decisions, and that's through the ballot box. At the time of the Brexit referendum, I was 16. I was fully aware of what that meant for people my age, our freedom of movement, our access to education, our economy, and ultimately our future. But like so many others, I had no say. Now at 25, my generation is living with the consequences of these decisions, and that experience has never left me. It has truly deepened my belief that young people must have their voice now and not later. Far too young people have been sidelined from the democratic process, despite being at the heart of all the real issues on the ground in the last decade. At 16, young people can work, make decisions about their education, pay taxes and not pay national insurance. The idea that they're too immature or not informed enough to vote has always been a myth, and it's time that myth is laid to rest. In Scotland and Wales, 16 and 17-year-olds have already the right to vote. Across Europe, in Austria, Germany, Malta and others, voting rights have been extended to over 16s, and the results have been clear. They are more engaged, more informed and more representative of the electorate. It is shown when given the opportunity, 16 and 17-year-olds vote at higher rates than 18 to 24-year-olds. They seek out diverse information, they take the vote seriously, they are in many ways our most informed voters. By empowering them now, we lay the foundations for a lifetime of civic participation, because the earlier someone votes, the more likely they are to keep voting again and again. This change ensures a seamless transition from learning about democracy in the classroom to practising it in real life. We have never allowed a generation to study democracy but without being able to take part in it. Sinn Féin has had a long-standing commitment to building a progressive society, one rooted in equality, justice and fairness, a society where young people are not only heard but listened to. Allowing 16-year-olds to vote gives voices to those with the greatest stake in our shared future, and we call on the British government to work with the executive to implement this as soon as possible for the next election cycle. As by including 16 and 17-year-olds, we are making our democracy richer, our politics more responsive and our society fairer.
Thank you, Councillor Quinn. Councillor Lee Surgener.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Councillor Andrews, for bringing this motion this evening on behalf of the Alliance Party. Certainly happy to support it. We warmly welcome the decision to lower the voting age 16 ahead of the next council assembly election 2027. Young people are already engaged in many aspects of public life. They are informed, passionate and directly affected by decisions made in council chambers and other legislators. It is only right that they have a democratic say in shaping the future of this island. The Alliance Party has long supported votes at 16 as a way of strengthening our democracy and building greater political engagement from an earlier age. We also believe this move will help foster a generation of more active and informed citizens. and we agree that it is vital that UK government works closely with Stormont to ensure this legislation is implemented smoothly and effectively with proper education and support in place to help young voters make informed choices.
Thank you, Councillor Lee Sargent. Councillor Bowsey.
I'm not really sure what this motion is meant to achieve. As Councillor Quinn already alludes, we've had this debate, what, two or three times. This council has a clear position on it. DUP voted against it. You're now getting what you want, and now we have a motion that just simply asks for it to be done successfully. Throughout the globe, voting rights are generally reserved for adults. 18 is the international recognised age for adulthood. The UN Convention of Rights for the Child defines a child as human beings below the age of 18 years, and we would be against children being the target of political campaigns. You on these benches are claiming that young people are being suppressed by not being able to perform a range of activities until they're 18. This includes taking out a mortgage, credit card, or personal loan, serving on a jury, becoming a police officer, fighting in our armed forces, getting married without permission, watching certain movies and content, buy alcohol, tobacco, fireworks or guns, and gambling. So for those reasons and for all the reasons we have set out in previous motions, we'll be voting against this.
Thank you, Councillor Bowsey. We're in agreement?
Chair, I have the right to reply with your indulgence. First of all, I'd like to thank
everybody.
Sorry.
Is everybody in agreement? Mr. Truesdale.
Thank you, Chair. As Councillor Lee Sargent has already said, we are in complete agreement with this. Young people deserve to have their voices heard, and as Councillor Quinn alluded to, the current curriculum's approach to political education will also be an essential part of this process. I'd just like to ask Councillor Andrews, would he take an amendment and put a time frame around this? An urgent clarification that this will be implemented by the 2027 elections?
Councillor Redding.
Yes, sir.
Can you just indulge us for one moment, please, Councillor? There's an amendment to the motion. Councillor Andrews.
Yes, I've already alluded in the speaking notes about to get this matter resolved as soon as practically possible, and I'm happy to accept the amendment. And do I have the right to sum up at this stage, or is any other member who would like to speak?
Councillor Riley is in before you, Councillor.
Yeah. Chairman, I'm almost certain that elections and anything to do with them are retained law at Westminster, and the Labour government's already said they're going to do this. So, as Councillor Bowsey's pointed out, what is the point in this? If Westminster is exclusively responsible for this, why are we going through this motion and wasting time tonight?
Thank you, Councillor Eddy. As we are not in agreement, will we go to a vote?
Sorry, Chair, did I not get the right of reply in minding up or summing up the motion and what's already been said, Chair? Sorry, have I come across you a bit rough here? No, sorry, I have to sum up the motion, Mr. Bowsey. Or sorry, Councillor Bowsey. You're getting your title tonight, Colin. You're getting that.
Yes, Councillor Andrews, you will get an opportunity to sum up, but after the vote, as we're not in agreement.
That's okay, no problem. Thank you very much.
Bill Hans, those four, the motion as it stands. And the amendment, sorry.
With the amendment,
they've accepted the amendment, so we're voting on the motion. Bill Hans. Or four. Those against?
Sorry, I'm for Chair Mark Evans.
Okay, for clarity's sake, we'll actually go for a roll call on this.
Councillor Andrews?
Is that one based on the accepting
the amendment? Yes,
well, I'm happy to accept that. For.
So the motion is has been amended, therefore that's now the substantive motion, and that's what you're voting on. So you're for, yeah?
For.
Councillor Bisey? Councillor Bisey? Sorry, Councillor Bisey?
We're voting on the motion, Janet.
The motion has been amended to include the time frame of 2027 to have it implemented by, and that's what you're, so the motion is now amended and is now the substantive motion.
That's what I was going to ask, what the amendment was, because we hadn't heard it.
Oh, okay. Councillor Bisey?
Against.
Councillor Brennan's absent. Councillor Burns? Is absent. Councillor Campbell?
Against. Sorry. It's been a long evening. Apologies.
Councillor Clark.
Four.
Councillor Devlin. Councillor Enright is absent. Councillor Feehan.
Four.
Councillor Finn.
Four.
Councillor Galbraith.
Four.
Councillor Gibbons.
Four.
Councillor Hanlon. Councillor Hannah. Councillor Hart. Councillor Hardy. Councillor Howell and Howie are absent. Councillor Jackson. Councillor Kearns is absent. Councillor King.
Four.
Councillor Larkin.
Four.
Councillor Lee Surgener.
Four.
Councillor Lewis.
Against.
Councillor McGuinness.
Four.
Councillor Mathers. Councillor McAteer. Councillor McAvoy.
Four.
Councillor Kerr.
Four.
Councillor Declan Murphy.
Four.
Councillor Kate Murphy.
Four.
Councillor Sonia Murphy.
Four.
Councillor Quinn. Councillor Riley.
Against.
Councillor Rice is absent. Councillor Rowan is absent. Councillor Sharvin.
Four.
Councillor Taylor is absent. Councillor Tinley. Councillor Truesdale.
Four.
Councillor Young.
Four.
That's 27 for and 5 against and no abstentions.
So the motion has passed. Councillor Andrews.
Thank you very much, Chair. And I'd like to thank everybody for tonight's contribution. And I respectfully, and I do take on board Councillor Bowsey's contributions, and others have said this motion is a waste of time. But I'd like to make the point abundantly clear, this is not a waste of time. Our young people have delegated each and every one of us to have their say and where it matters. And I know a lot of Ogra Sinn Féin, SDLP Youth Alliance, and also Unionists and other parties have campaigned. And maybe, Colin, go to your Young Democrats and with Young Democrats, have a chat with them and see what your colleagues and friends and the Young Democrats have to say and take on board what they say and then feed it through the parties. Well, how am I meant to know? But I do feel myself. I'm not a disgrace.
We have order in the chamber, please.
I'm not a disgrace. I'm sorry. I'm very passionate about young people, Henry. I'm very important. They are our future. They are our hope. And I've been brought up to respect. And I respect everybody's opinion, whether they're for it or against it. But I felt myself that tonight was a good debate, and I thank everybody for their contributions. And if we depend on our younger people to knock doors, to label, to go out and about and canvass for us, well then, they're old enough to weigh up and vote. But tonight we've had this motion before us, and I thank everybody. And I respect everybody's opinion, and it was a good debate. Thanks, everybody. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Andrews. Item number 11 on the agenda, notice of motion, President of Ireland, at the request of Councillor Sharvin, has been deferred until September's meeting. Item
Item number 12, notice of motion, funding cuts by the Arts Council to the National Youth Choir. Councillor Flynn, would you like to speak to your motion?
Yes, will I read? Do you want me to read the motion in and then? Yeah, absolutely. So, Newry Morning Down District Council expresses disappointment and sadness at the funding cuts by the Arts Council to the National Youth Choir of Northern Ireland, acknowledges the significant cultural impact the organisation has had on music in Northern Ireland, and calls on the Communities Minister and the Arts Council to intervene to prevent the closure. The motion will be seconded by Councillor Shorvin. I'm really pleased to be able to bring this motion to Council this evening. However, it does seem somewhat like Groundhog Day for me, because I am talking about cuts to an already beleaguered arts budget. The National Youth Choir of Northern Ireland was founded in 1999 as the Ulster Youth Choir by Christopher Bell, and is currently under the stewardship of the very talented Andrew Nunn, who I had the pleasure to speak to this morning ahead of this motion. Across its 26-year lifespan, the choir has been an exemplar of inclusivity and integration, with the current membership of 360 young people from the ages of 8 to 24 across its boys, girls, junior, training and senior choirs coming together. The choir has been a platform for thousands of singers across Northern Ireland and a career boost for so many well-known performers that have gone on to represent Northern Ireland on the world stage. Over the last number of weeks, I have been contacted by numerous parents and former members who have lauded the choir as a beacon of musical excellence, inclusion and inspiration. Not only this, but the choir and the arts more broadly provide a wonderful opportunity for young people across the North to make friends and build relationships. The National Youth Choir also enters hundreds of schools every year, developing workshops, holding auditions and acting as a stepping stone to music and arts education. Particularly over the last year, they've entered the Abbey Grammar School, St Paul's High School, Bessbrook, and Our Ladies Grammar School, that's just in my own kind of DAA and area, providing the opportunity for young people from Newry to showcase their artistic talents. While this cut is absolutely appalling, it is not surprising given the arts picture across the North. Since 2009, we've seen a 66% fall in public spending in our region, compared to 18% in Wales and 22% in Scotland. So is it any wonder that our region will now be the only one across the islands without a choir for young people? We are now seeing the decades of consequences of a decade of cuts to the arts sector. However, myself and my SCLP colleagues will continue to fight for those artists and organisations that bring vibrancy, professionalism and passion to our society. It has taken 26 years to build up an organisation of this stature and days for it to be cut down. Tonight, the purpose of this motion is not to place blame on anybody, but to ask that people take action and responsibility to prevent an act of cultural vandalism and, quite frankly, to support the young people who want to develop their talent. My hope is that we write to the Communities Minister and the Arts Council to find a way forward to prevent the collapse of this wonderful institution. And I'd like to ask that we also write to other councils across the North to do the same, because I imagine there are so many young people from every district across the North who are hugely upset by what has happened. And that's my motion, so thank you for listening.
Thank you, Councillor Flynn. Councillor Sharp. Councillor King.
Yeah, Chair, thanks very much. And yes, we want to express deep concern over the recent decision by the Arts Council to withdraw funding from the National Youth Choir. You know, this is a major blow for the North, and especially to the young people of Newry and Armagh, and who have benefited so much from this organisation over the years. The NYC has given young people opportunities many would never otherwise have had to express themselves, to grow in confidence, be part of something bigger than themselves. It's more than just playing music. But let's be clear. This decision doesn't happen in a vacuum. It's the direct result of over a decade of austerity forced on our public services by a British government that has shown time and time again that it does not prioritise the arts, and certainly not the well-being of our communities. I know our party has already written to the Minister demanding that this funding be reinstated, so the added pressure is more than welcome, Councillor Flynn. So more than happy to support your motion. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor King. Councillor Jackson.
Thank you, Chair. Look, we also share concern with the impact this decision by the Arts Council has had on those involved in MICNI, including individuals and communities benefiting from their activities. We believe youth arts should receive fair and adequate funding. And whilst the Communities Minister is unable to intervene in what is an operational matter for an arm's length body of his department, he is continuing to make the case for increased investment in the arts at the executive table. As part of the Heritage, Culture and Creativity Programme, Communities Minister Gordon Lyons, MLA, announced last year a new arts policy is being developed, and it is hoped that this will fill current vacuum and available support and assistance.
Thank you, Councillor Jackson. Councillor McAteer?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Yeah, I mean, when this broke there a few weeks ago, I was totally flabbergasted, really. It's something that is quite so unique, really, and such an important thing for young people to get involved in, broadening their horizons into culture and arts. £60,000, like at this day and age, you know, does that be allowed to go into an abeyance? It's really, it is shameful. And so I'm glad that Harry is making the motion. You know, I think someone who said one time in the country, loses the culture, it loses the soul, and I think it's very true in this case. And of course, we would, I think for, you know, I think our support and all kinds of support, maybe it will see it reinstated again. I know I had a daughter sang in the Ulster Youth Choir, and again, it makes an immense difference. Lasting memories and the introduction to culture into a young person's life. And it's a very unifying force, especially in this country, where people who differ on most things and indeed on everything all unite in harmony, if you excuse the pun, under the auspices of a youth choir. So I just think it's a good motion to bring, and I think it'd be a shame if it's not reinstated. Thanks, Chair.
Councillor Young.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you to Councillor Finn for bringing this motion. This decision obviously means that Northern Ireland will be the only one of the UK's national regions not to support a youth choir of its own. And over the past year alone, four organisations have been forced to close, and now a fifth with the most recent closure of Coleraine's Riverside Theatre. It closed its doors for the last time on the 1st of August, falling short of its 50th anniversary next year, which is hugely disappointing. So, Alliance, we do very much support this motion, and thanks to Councillor Finn for bringing it.
Thank you, Councillor Young. Councillor Finn, would you like to sum up?
Just to thank everybody so much for your support this evening, and I do think everybody can see, and it's lovely to hear stories of people that have seen the value, particularly deaf, and I'm sure I haven't heard his singing voice, but maybe we will now, maybe it's wonderful, but thank you very much to everybody for your support, and fingers crossed I'll hold Johnny to that, but there's hopefully good news coming in the work, so thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Finn. On a personal level, someone who's worked within the arts for over 20 years, thank you for bringing this motion to the table. We're in agreement. Moving on to item number 13 in the agenda, notice of motion for CAR T cell therapy. Councillor Sheehan, would you like to speak your motion and let us know who's seconding it?
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much, Chair. The motion will be seconded by Councillor Devlin. And the motion is that this council recognises the urgent need for patients in Northern Ireland requiring CAR-T cell therapy to have timely and compassionate access to treatment closer to home. That we note with deep sadness the death of Catherine Cherry, who passed away on the 12th of May 2025, aged just 42 years old, in King's College Hospital, London, while receiving CAR-T treatment. That we commend the courage and commitment of Fergal Cherry and his sons, who are now advocating for CAR-T treatment to be made available to Northern patients at St James's Hospital in Dublin. That we acknowledge that the Department of Health in the Republic has an existing Memorandum of Understanding on All Island Cancer Services, signed following the Good Friday Agreement in 1999 and renewed in 2021, which provides a framework for cross-border cooperation in oncology. We further recognise that CAR-T treatment will not be available in Northern Ireland until 2030, 2031 at the earliest, and that access to St James's Hospital, where CAR-T services are already in place, would allow patients to receive treatment within driving distance of home with the vital support of their families. We therefore call on the NI Department of Health to immediately begin negotiations with their counterparts in the Republic to secure access to CAR-T therapy at St James's Hospital for eligible Northern Ireland patients. We call on the Irish Government to support and facilitate this cooperation as a matter of urgency. This council will write formally to Ministers Mike Nesbitt and Jennifer Carroll McNeill requesting their intervention. And we will also call on other councils across the North to support this motion and stand in solidarity with Fergal Sherry, his family and all others who may face similar hardship. Chair, I have brought this motion forward this evening on behalf of the family of Catherine Sherry, wife to Fergal and mother to three young boys, Manus, Tomás and Donal. Catherine's aunts, Anne and Mary, who cared for Catherine's sons while she was receiving treatment in London, are joining us here this evening in the public gallery, and I would say to both of them that they're very, very welcome here. Catherine passed away in May this year while undergoing QRT treatment in King's College Hospital in London. Catherine's treatment was working, but the repeated air travel, while severely immune suppressed, weakened Catherine and left her unable to fight the infection which led to her death. Catherine passed away far from home and far from her children. And here's the devastating truth. The treatment that Catherine needed was available just 60 miles down the road in Dublin, but she wasn't able to access it. Why? Because there is still no agreement between the Department of Health in the North and their counterparts in Dublin to allow Northern patients to access this specialist therapy in the Republic, despite it being routinely delivered in St James's. This is not a capacity issue and it is not a funding issue. It is quite simply a political failure. We are now told that a QRT facility in Belfast may not open until 2030 and only then after accreditation. That's at least 5 more years of patients being forced onto planes to London or Manchester when they could be driven to Dublin in an hour or two. It is important to note that there already has been a commitment, both North and South, to working together on cancer care. In 1999, following the Good Friday Agreement, a tripartite arrangement was established to enhance cancer research, promote education and training, and underpin improved cancer care on the island of Ireland. That promise was renewed in March 2021 by the Taoiseach and by then First Ministers Arlene Foster and Michelle O'Neill. It is essential that our leaders honour those commitments. Let me put it plainly, no mother should have to leave her children behind to fight for her life in another country. No family should get a call saying she is going to die when the system itself has failed to give her the best fighting chance close to home. Lymphoma Action UK warns that flying puts cancer patients at serious risk of blood clots, deep vein thrombosis and increased risk of infection. Catherine's first journey to London was by commercial flight, having barely left hospital in Belfast for months. Subsequent journeys to London were by air ambulance, and it is really important to note that Catherine's QRT treatment worked, but the travel to London weakened her and she was unable to fight the infection which led to her death. That travel and those journeys should never have been necessary. So tonight I would sincerely and truly ask all councillors to support this motion so that we can make a strong and collective call on government to act now and to establish an all-island pathway for QRT treatment. The infrastructure exists, the expertise exists, the only thing that is missing is the political will. So let us all say clearly from this chamber that cancer patients in Northern Ireland deserve access to life-saving treatment on the island of Ireland, and they deserve it now. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Payne. Councillor Devlin, would you like to speak to the motion?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. As Killian said, I'm seconding the motion. I thank him for bringing it here this evening. I was so moved to hear Fergal on the radio a few weeks back, and I do want to pass on my condolences to Catherine's family who are with us tonight. As a mother myself, listening to that interview and hearing Killian this evening really just is simply harrowing. You know, operating on a cross-border basis in terms of health and proposals of this nature are right and proper and simply have to happen from a human perspective. We don't want to see any family separated and the heartbreak that the Sherrys have endured happen to any other family ever again. So thank you, Killian, and I really hope that any barriers that exist here can be removed, as none of us in this chamber and beyond know whenever such sadness could arrive at our own doors, Chair. So thank you, Killian, and thank you for your time.
Thank you, Councillor Devlin. Councillor Lee Sargentner.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Councillor Fionn, for bringing forward this important and timely motion tonight. I want to express my full support for this motion, and I commend the compassion and urgency behind it. First and foremost, I offer my deepest sympathy to the family of Catherine. Her passing is a heartbreaking tragedy. I extend our thoughts to her husband, Fergal, her sons, and all who knew and loved her. It is utterly tragic that the Sherry family had to travel to London for CAR T cell therapy, a journey made more difficult by distance, stress, and emotional toll of separation. And such treatment could have been accessed
in Dublin, just a few hours away from their home. It's no secret how I feel about Northern Ireland lagging behind when it comes to new medical technology being implemented. My mother, for example, she died of cervical cancer, but she got treatment for proton therapy, which was available in Hong Kong. So she had to fly from here all the way to Hong Kong for treatment, which should have been available here. So while I understand and acknowledge that CAR T treatment is not yet available in Northern Ireland, that cannot be an excuse for inaction. If the treatment is available in Dublin and there is already a memorandum of understanding on cross-border cancer services, then reasonable and compassionate arrangements should have been made. It is unacceptable that families in crisis are left to bear the burden of navigating these barriers. Treatment closer to home with the support of loved ones is not only clinically better, it's also humane. So I fully support this motion and urge all relevant departments in Stormont to act swiftly.
Thank you, Councillor Lee Sojourner. Councillor Hardy?
I'm Margaret Chancellor. We'll be supporting the motion, but first and foremost, I want to extend on behalf of the Sinn Féin team here and the party as a whole our sincerest and heartfelt condolences to Catherine's family, particularly those who are here tonight, but also to her extended family and friends. The tragedy of Catherine's passing was compounded by the fact that she passed away in London, separated from members of her family, in particular her three loving sons, having been forced to travel overseas for treatment that is available here, not an hour from her home. I'd also like to make specific mention of her husband, Fergal, who has been incredibly courageous in conveying the struggles the Sherry family had to endure through the whole process of diagnosis, treatment, and ultimately Catherine's untimely passing. It must have been extremely difficult to relive those memories and also to articulate them. As I stated, the specific treatment Catherine needed was available just an hour from her home. Travelling to London not only adds stress to an already stressful situation, but has been pointed out, presents additional risks for patients undergoing this kind of treatment. Most egregiously, being forced to travel to London for this treatment meant Catherine was separated from her family, making this harrowing experience all the more difficult. As Fergal himself has said, when you're going through cancer treatment, you need your family near you. It goes without saying, therefore, that we wholeheartedly support the family's campaign for All Ireland provision for CAR T cell therapy to make sure no other family has to endure what the Sherry clan has gone through. We know that collaboration in healthcare across this island is in the interest of everyone who calls this island home. It makes sense that we share services where possible, and Catherine's case stands as a stark and harrowing reminder of the impacts of divided healthcare and care systems on our island. We should, of course, write to both Ministers Nesbitt and Karen McNeill to ask what plans they have for the provision of this treatment on an all-island basis and to encourage them to explore every option, including existing cross-border frameworks and the shared island unit, to deliver this essential service on an all-island basis. We are now 27 years on from the signing of the Good Friday Agreement, which listed health as a fundamental area of North-South cooperation. While significant advances have been made, this tragic case reminds us that we still have much work to do. I welcome the fact that the Good Friday Agreement Committee in the Oireachtas is to prioritise all-Ireland healthcare, and I know my party colleagues will be raising this case in that vital work. So let us all work collectively to make sure no other family has to endure what the Sherry clan went through. We owe it all to patients, present and future, to fight for the highest level of healthcare to be accessible for all our citizens going forward. And we, of course, commend and support the motion.
Thank you, Councillor Hardy. Councillor Hannah?
Thanks, Chair. First of all, from the Democratic Unionist Party, we'd just like to reach out to this family and say they're sorry we are. Anybody can through their journey, cancer in any shape or form there, it's as horrible as it is. And we all look for the best outcomes, and this is the procession of the DUP. We regret that CAR-T cannot presently be delivered in Northern Ireland. It is our desire to see that the Department of Health and relevant trusts expedite the work required to embed this service within health and social care in Northern Ireland as soon as possible. It is worth noting that our health system does not presently have arrangements in place enabling those patients in Northern Ireland who require this treatment to benefit from it, and it is in Great Britain. We want to ensure there is continuity as well as access for those patients and families affected. The DUP supports cross-border cooperation on health whether it's a clear mutual benefit for benefits in terms of timely access to vital services and treatment. However, this cannot be at the expense of Northern Ireland's invaluable access to the wider NHS. Enabling referrals from care team in the Irish Republic would not be straightforward. Specialist care, which cannot be delivered in Northern Ireland, is often referred to as in their wider NHS. However, this works on the basis that hospital service referrals and care pathways across the UK operate within the same clinical safety, quality and governance standards, providing an extent level of assurance on referrals and consistency of care. Those same assurances do not presently exist for QRT, and achieving the same levels of assurance within providers in the Republic of Ireland requires significant time and resources. In our view, given the Department's assessment that the timelines envisaged for the local delivery of the treatment within Northern Ireland means a parallel process to establish a second provider arrangement in the Republic of Ireland could prove not to add value. Ultimately, we want to see decisions taken not on the basis of a political but clinical evidence and what is best in terms of maximising the outcomes of cancer patients. Most importantly, caution must be erred in terms of what is realistic and deliverable. But in saying that, there, just to add a little bit from myself, patients come first there, and I would like to see everybody getting the same treatment forever.
Thank you very much, Councillor Hannah. Councillor Fain, would you like to sum up? Is everybody in agreement? Yeah. Councillor Fain, would you like to sum up?
Yes, thanks, Chair. And just very briefly, it's just to acknowledge and thank everybody for their comments and for their support. Just the final thing that I would say before we leave the chambers, and Councillor Hurty had alluded to it as well, is let's not leave it here. You know, all of us, there's all councillors that are in here have party colleagues, I would say, particularly to my colleagues in Sinn Féin, the Alliance and the DUP and the Ulster Unionists, that you have party colleagues that are in a position to influence change and affect change at the executive table. So I would please respectfully ask that colleagues would take this message out of the chamber this evening and take it back to their colleagues in an attempt to see this actually change and to facilitate access for this treatment in Dublin for Northern patients. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Fehan. Moving on to item number 14 in the agenda, notice of motion, autism friendly towns. In Amendment Standing Order 16.1.6, this will be referred to the Equality and Good Relations Committee. Councillor Truesdale, would you like to read your motion?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Acknowledging the Council's good work in the promotion of equality, diversity and inclusion masterclasses for employers, that this Council reinstates the action to continue the promotion of Newcastle as an autism-friendly town in the next Disability Action Plan, as this was not included to sit within the finalised Disability Action Plan 23-27, and that the learning from this initiative now extends to all towns across the district in the next Action Plan. In the interim period, Council sets up the Disability Forum and returns with regular progress updates on the inclusion of neurodiversity within the Disability Action Plan. This would include using best practice from autism charities and neurodiversity partnerships and the setting up of learning and awareness events. Thank you.
Councillor Truesdale, please second in your motion.
Sorry, Councillor Young.
Councillor Young. Councillor Young, do you wish to speak to them? No, sorry. No, no.
No, that's fine. Thank you.
No. We've had enough.
Philip, you're tired.
Watch everyone. Stay at home.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Chair.